fellow baseball nuts, and a very warm welcome to Season 3, Episode 4 of the Johnny and Josh Show. It's July the 1st, so happy Canada Day to all our Canadian brothers out there. There's one in particular that obviously joins us live. And of course, JC's with us, but tragically, no big Dave. For those of you out and about in the UK and Europe, you may spot Dave on his travels. Give him a wave from us if you do. Happy Canada Day to you, Eric. What have you done to celebrate, big guy?
A lot of maple syrup for breakfast and made sure that I still have free medical care.
You have free medical care in the UK. I don't know
that's
if you realize
right.
that.
That's true. I know. So it feels like being in Canada.
Yeah. Did you watch some curling on YouTube and maybe a little bit of hockey?
Exactly. Speaking of hockey, you living in Denver, Colorado, Josh Chetwin. It must be your city must have been quite quite a party town with the Colorado Avalanche winning the Stanley Cup.
Eric, I have the receipts. My office overlooks the parade period, the part of the parade route when the Avalanche, after they won, brought the Stanley Cup. And I have great pictures of, you know, huge crowds from my office window. So it was kind of cool to watch. So
which I think it'd be very unlikely that you'll be seeing a Rockies parade down the streets of Denver anytime soon. That's the thing. So at least
I was about to ask from an ice hockey perspective, because as we both know, I'm a very detailed and knowledgeable NHL fan. I've never even heard of them. Have they had much of a history of success in the Stanley Cup?
Third Stanley Cup.
Their third Stanley Cup. And there's a lot of talk now that Denver is Hockey Town USA because the DU team, Denver University of Denver team, won the college championship. And then my local high school, Denver East, won a national hockey championship. So hockey's big sport in my neck of the woods.
Some of our listeners may remember that Eric used to ask me to host NHL.
On
Channel 5 and TV. I used to love it with Russell Chamberlain, called Lovely Russ, what a top boy he was. And I used to go in every time, if you remember, and just say, well, look, guys, you know I know absolutely nothing about this game. And Russell used to think that was hilarious because he used to say, well, just, you know, just say nothing. I'll tell you what to say before every link, which he literally did. And I was struggling with the technicals. I mean, I remember I struggled with the word puck, which obviously was rather significant. So it is amazing that my knowledge hasn't expanded at all from that base of zero all those years ago, Eric.
Which is
and it differs from baseball in which
ways? Beat me to it.
Yeah, I know. We're both going there. The irony is I'm the only one who didn't work on that, and I'm the only one who played hockey. I played hockey growing up in L.A.
You've got the physique for it, Jason. You don't need the padding.
Boom, I was boom. Young once, Goldie.
Let's bring it back to baseball, shall we?
Okay. Yeah, we will. It's episode 4, guys. Obviously, very important to stick with tradition and have our biblical meaning for those spiritual members of the baseball fraternity. And you'll be very excited to know that the number 4 derives its Bible meaning from creation. On the fourth day of what is called Creation Week, God completed the material universe. And on this day...
Is that like Shark Week?
It's similar. Okay. On this day, he brought into existence our sun, the moon, and all the stars. And their purpose was not only to give off light, but also to divide the day from the night on earth. And I think that's rather symbolic because I feel that you, particularly, JC, you bring light to the baseball darkness.
Bless your heart. Thank you.
It's caught you off guard, isn't it?
I was not expecting anything positive.
Johnny being nice.
I know. It's been a long day. I'm quite tired, if I'm really honest. Let's talk notable fours. There's a few out there. Paul Molitor, Earl Weaver. Any particular favorites, boys?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the greatest number four of all time is Lou Gehrig. I think that's impossible to argue otherwise. But I think, surprisingly, one of the more underrated players who was a number four is Duke Snider, because you think of that era of baseball and you think of the, you know, Mickey Mantle, Joe DiMaggio nexus with the Yankees, and you think of Willie Mays with the Giants when we had the New York teams. And I always felt like Duke Snider, as time has gone by, does not get the same level. He's a Hall of Famer, but doesn't get the same level of props as those three other players who were center fielders also in New York in the heyday of New York baseball. So ups to the Duke.
The Duke of Flatbush. And that's the thing with the Duke. He was also a Montreal Expos broadcaster in my upbringing when I was living in Montreal. And I now take it for granted when I'd see Duke Snider walk down the streets of Montreal, and I'd say, oh, there's the Duke. Yeah. And he also played for the Montreal Royals, which is the Brooklyn Dodgers, you know, feeder team, a minor league team. And he passed away quite a while ago. But yeah, Duke Snyder, a very unsung hero in baseball lore.
Well, I didn't mention Lou Gehrig because I didn't want to get caught up in people saying, you know, oh, here we go again with Gouldie. Because as we all know, he is my third favorite baseball player of all time. I absolutely
because
love
you
everything.
Saw him, because you saw him live.
Because I saw his movie live.
How was his goodbye speech, Gouldie? Did you have good seats for it?
I had a guy.
I consider myself the luckiest man.
There wasn't this a dry eye in the Johnny house, Gould. Buddy. Okay, well, let's get a COVID update before we get off the topic completely. And it is, as we know, still lingering in the sports world. In fact, I think we had a pretty major dropout of Wimbledon, didn't we? Didn't old Matteo Berrettini have to withdraw because of testing?
Yeah, last year's finalist, runner-up, when he lost against Djokovic in the final. Yeah. And he actually won just like a week ago at Queen's here in London on grass. He was all, you know, ready to, like, you know, claw back from and hopefully get in the final again. Wimbledon test positive for coronavirus, has a withdraw. And
where is the justice in that? Where is the justice that he tests positive and yet Djokovic, who quite frankly I have absolutely no time for at all, will probably go on and win another title? There is no justice in this world, JC.
Yeah, I mean, I'm amazed at players. So the Red Sox went up to Toronto again, and Tanner Houck, who's a key player in that roster, again doesn't play. No repercussions other than not playing. They put him on the restricted list. I think Duran was the other player. There were two Red Sox players who have decided to continue not to be vaccinated for this. It's fascinating. Yes.
And you consider, and there's no way anybody can say that they're missing, not just him, but the other two relief pitchers you mentioned, because the game that they lost 6-5, which they lost as a result of the bullpen. Four straight Toronto batters reached in the last inning to win the game 6-5. And on the strength of that, the Blue Jays vaulted the Red Sox by half a game for second place in the American League East and in the wildcard standing. So who knows what that might mean at the end of a season? I agree with you. Why are there not consequences? We're pussyfooting around here. There should be consequences. Dock them wages.
To your point, Gouldie, I mean, the Red Sox have really turned around their season over the past month or so. And, you know, all of a sudden they're in the mix, more than in the mix. They're practically in the driver's seat for a wild card spot, but they're competing with the Toronto Blue Jays. So those series are particularly monumental. And for those players to be allowed to step aside. The irony, though, of that whole process is that the Red Sox actually uncovered one of their best relief pitchers because of the decision from Tanner Houck the last time they went to Toronto. So earlier in the season when they went, the Red Sox were allowed to, there's a kind of a rule that you don't have to have a player on the 40-man roster to fill in for a COVID spot. So player who I've mentioned a few times, John Schreiber, who I used to work with when I was an agent, you know, he's made such improvement. We stopped working together and then it became great. And basically he was able, even though he was on the 40-man roster, to come in and fill that spot when they went to Toronto. He threw amazingly, opened the eyes of Alex Cora, and has been on the roster ever since. He has an ERA of like 0.73 or something right now. So in a strange way, the fact that Houck didn't play last time allowed them to identify Schreiber, who's now one of the key members of that bullpen.
And can I also just point out, before any of our listeners start writing in and calling me names, I totally respect the right of anyone to make a decision for what is right for them. My argument is, if you don't make yourself available to do your day job, why do you expect to be paid? That's my point. And I think that's where I'm talking about consequences. Just before we have many a belligerent listener giving me a hard time with my very strong views, I respect their right to make that decision, but I believe there should be consequences. That's my view.
There you go. But also the Canadian border, you forgot to ask about the Canadian border. It being Canada Day, I thought you'd come off, you know, the bat with that. But yeah, the mandate for entry into Canada with vaccination has been extended, believe it or not. They were going to lift it this July, but there's still too many cases for everyone's comfort at the moment. And so they are going to wait till September 30th to potentially lift the entry into Canada vaccine mandate, which means that in the last week of the season, those Red Sox have to travel north again to Toronto and play three games, and I mean three games, I mean like the last, you know, the penultimate probably games that they need to maybe get a wild card spot or higher. You know, I don't think those Yankees are going to get go anywhere, but imagine if there's not enough vaccinated players still by September. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, just even if you have a cut, if Tanner Houck, who I wouldn't expect him to get vaccinated now, he hasn't to this point, chooses again, you know, and he's been key in that. I mean, he was a starter, but now he's been working in the bullpen. He's been key. You go into that last weekend where there's so much at stake and you choose not to be vaccinated, the effect on the Red Sox could be huge.
When you consider how tight it is at this stage of the season, who knows what it's going to be like at the end of the season? I mean, obviously the Yankees are dominating the AL East, but it's very tight elsewhere. And they've had a great run. I mean, it's such a shame. You know, you always talk about sport being momentum, JC. And Boston have put together one hell of a run in June. And then suddenly they suffer a couple of, well, let's be brutally honest, defeats they could have avoided had they had their full manpower available. Who knows what impact that has? You lose that momentum.
I'm still quite optimistic for the Red Sox. Obviously, you know, it's a team I support. But you look at that roster, and offensively, it's, you know, Martinez, Bogaerts, you know, even Verdugo's coming a little better. I mean, top to bottom, other than a guy like Bobby Dalbec, it's been good. And then they've really been able to piece together a starting rotation. You know, guys like Pivetta and Waka, who have been really solid. And if Chris Sale comes back, he's still kind of out there. Yeah, the Red Sox will be in the mix.
You mentioned Chris Sale, but I don't think he's vaccinated, or he certainly wasn't the last time they asked him. So you're just gonna have the same problem all over again.
Well, but that's in Toronto. I mean, anywhere in the United States, he can.
Yeah.
He can keep on going.
But, you know, okay, well, we could talk about this forever. Sorry, exactly. Did you want to say something?
No, I'm just saying, imagine if Toronto made the playoffs and there's still people have to come north of the border postseason. Moving on.
Well, but just real quickly, Eric, you said September 30th, and that could be the end of the mandate. So all of a sudden, it could be clear sailing for those guys.
Potentially, yeah. Doesn't mean that they can't extend it again. It'd be cruel if the Canadian government does that just as a home advantage for them. Strategic.
That would be cruel if he's smart. Strategery.
Brilliant. Genius.
Cruel for others. I mean, yeah. Moving on.
Okay, well, moving on, obviously, for all our listeners, we do need you to get involved. This is the Johnny and Josh Show. Do give us a big thumbs up and subscribe. You can join us on all the usual social media platforms. And YouTube is back, courtesy of Eric and all his stunning efforts as an editor. So do check out our channel. And don't forget, at the bottom of the screen, that's where we need you to subscribe and like. And if you can, leave a comment and introduce your friend and basically be a wonderful supporter, as you have always been.
And then we are going to give you something for that potentially, right?
We are. We've got a prize.
We'll discuss that later. It's
got to be a teaser. I think it's
going to be a teaser. Yeah. There'll be two tickets available for something, but you got to listen to the rest of the show to figure out what that something is.
You see, this man knows how to market, JC. Exactly. We're just throwing it out there. We're completely giving everybody an excuse to tune out before we've even started. Okay, Eric, trivia question.
Yeah, because it is Canada Day, old Canada, I figure. And also because the All-Star Game is around the corner. And because I'm a Montreal boy at heart, you know, my formative years were there, I'm still forming. I figure I combined my former Montreal Expos on Canada Day with an All-Star question. And it's a very simple question. My question to you gentlemen is, who was the last Montreal Expo to play in an All-Star game? And by that, I mean dressed in a Montreal Expos uniform at the All-Star game. So you have to think back to when that was. So who was the last Montreal Expo to play at an All-Star game?
And you're not giving us an A, B, or a C.
All right, I might as well, I guess.
Because I'm really struggling if you don't.
Okay, now, was it A, Brad Wilkerson? Or was it B, Levon Hernandez? Or was it C, Orlando Cabrera? So those are your three options. Those three. Who's the last Montreal Expo player to play it?
I don't even think Gouldy knows what position Wilkerson played.
I don't. You're completely right. And before you ask and think, oh, I'll catch him out, I'm gonna front up straight away. All I know is he was a Major League Baseball player. That's all you need to know.
Brad Wilkerson,
is that all you need to know?
Brad Wilkerson, Levon Hernandez, Orlando Cabrera. Those are your three options. Moving on.
Okay, thank you for that, Eric. We move on to page number two on the script. So expertly provided by young Eric on a weekly, monthly basis. We kick things off with our leadoff batter. And as tradition would have it, that is, of course, the news roundup. So here it is, the news roundup. So what are the big news hitting the stories in June, everybody? We're spoilt for choice. I'm going to kick things off. Bryce Harper breaks his thumb at a pretty crucial time of the season for the Phillies, particularly since they're chasing down that National League wildcard spot. And they're up against teams that are ultimately in the hunt for a wildcard spot as well. That is the Braves. And that is the Cards. And they lost the three-game series against the Braves 2-1. The hitting's gone a bit weak. And Bryce Harper was their key man. So how big a loss is this, JC?
Oh, it's massive, Goldie. I mean, Castellanos is going to really need to step up. He's had a pretty disappointing offensive season so far. And it was interesting what he said after he got hit in the hand. He said, I wish I had been hit in the face because I would have been able to play. The thing about the hands and the bones in the hands and when you get hit, it's much more difficult to recover. So I feel for him. It's for the fans, it's terrible too, right? He was one of the finalists to be an all-star selection. I would have gone to the all-star game. So we're missing out on that opportunity to have one of baseball's big stars.
And, would he have been in the home run derby?
Oh no. You know, I don't know whether he wanted to do that. I do know that if the Phillies continue to sort of fall off the pace, he might have been a potential trade bait as well, too, which will be a little bit more difficult under the circumstances since he's out for so long.
How surprised are you that Nick Castellanos is struggling so badly? I mean, I think entering to the final day of June, he's hitting just .212 after such a great season last year.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the performance is quite disappointing. The problem with the Phillies' approach this year was that they were all offense and no defense. So they went with a lot of players who weren't necessarily great on the defensive side of the ball, and with the expectation that they would put up the offensive numbers they put up in the past. Yeah. When you're not surviving offensively, you're not a two-way player, you know, you don't bring a lot in the field, then you're losing on both sides. And I think that that's really been seen this season. And obviously they're already on their second manager, right? Rob Thompson's now managing. Adios, Girardi.
You got any feelings for this this prospect, Derek Hall, that's just come up from AAA? I mean, he's a big hitter. He's a power hitter. Can he fill the gap?
Yeah, I mean, I feel the same way about all the guys who come up midseason, is that there's a little bit of that period. They either start really hot and then cool off because the major league pitchers make their changes that they need to make to get better at them, or they just flounder right at the start. It's very hard to maintain a long stretch as a rookie of performance.
Yeah.
So I think whenever people think that a minor leaguer coming up is going to be the silver bullet, there may be a small period where they could do it, but for the extent of the whole second half, I would be a little bit cautious about having those type of expectations.
So the Pete Alonso debut season is very much the exception rather than the rule.
I do believe so. And I mean, I think you look at rookies over the last handful of years, while performances are good, you don't see those massive performances that we used to see out of rookies. You know, India, who won the Rookie of the Year in the National League last year, Jonathan India, good season, but definitely not superstar numbers. And I think that it becomes increasingly more difficult because of the depth of pitching at the major league level for positional players to really put up those kind of numbers that we saw maybe a generation ago out of rookies.
Okay, well, let's move on from that story, boys. And there's many, many more to look at. Managerial firings, you just touched on one. We've had another one. Joe Maddon got the axe from the Angels. No real surprise there, is there? I mean, if there's been one team that I would say is the most disappointing in terms of anticipation at the beginning of the season, it's got to be the Angels, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure you guys both heard the anecdote around that, which was he was trying to fire up the team and right beforehand got a mohawk. Gave himself a mohawk, hoping that that would get the players very excited and laugh and sort of loosen them up. And he got fired before he actually got to the clubhouse to show his new hairdo. I mean, it's just a heartbreaking story. I'm a big Joe Maddon fan. I've said this a number of times on the show and elsewhere that we talk about analytics in baseball. And the one area where analytics still does not give us a great sense of performance is in managerial performance. And so it's interesting that, you know, the managers get fired, they get blamed for performance, but we don't really have a sense of whether they really deserve that or whether it's the players on the field. And I don't know whether they'll, you know, whether the anoraks out there are ever going to be able to come to figuring out a way to really determine performance by a manager. But I'm always a little, you know, I get it if you lose the clubhouse and you feel that players don't trust in you. And perhaps that was the case with Madden and Girardi. But if that's not the case and the players are still playing hard and not performing, should the manager be the fall guy for this? I think that's an open question.
Okay, well, talking about firings, and I don't know if this is definitively true, but I don't know if you guys have been following the whole Freddie Freeman debacle since his first return to Atlanta, the tears, the press conferences, and then suddenly the revelation that supposedly his agent did not pass on the last offer made by the Braves, which many people are now conspiring to assume that Freddie would have accepted. And he's apparently fired his agent on the back of this information. But now the agent, I think, has issued some kind of a writ against the Braves saying they haven't been completely honest about what went on and the conversations that we had. Freddie doesn't seem to have confirmed that he has fired him. I'm very confused by all this. What's going on, JC? You're over there. What's the true story?
Yeah, Goldie, I was wanting to ask that we discuss this because I felt like it was one of those rare stories where I can give personal insight into how these dynamics tend to play out. So as you know, I represented players for about 9 years, primarily European players, some US players as well too. And when I was working in this field, I certainly was able to see this type of experience on the inside. Our agency represented a player who at the time was a rising star. A certain team that he was playing for had offered him an extension and a long-term contract well below market value. Now, the agent, who was his primary agent, had definitely relayed that, and there was a discussion as to whether or not he should take it, and ultimately the pair had decided, no, it's not appropriate, let's play and see what kind of contract we can get. What's fascinating, and why this story relates to the Freddie Freeman story, is that what ends up occurring after that is a lot of subterfuge, where you have the team trying to press the player, often using the media as a vehicle to get to that point. So in my instance, what ended up happening, a very famous reporter, actually even became more famous, wrote a story without calling us, myself or the primary agent, or calling the player, that the player was going to take this contract and that the contract was really good. It was so clear that the team was trying to press through the public a certain perception of the way these negotiations were going. And the reporter was being kind of used in this. It's fascinating because I know that this reporter has a lot of respect as being kind of a players or, you know, type of guy, clearly not at that time, because he was clearly, carrying the water for the team. And so you now take that type of story and you look at the Freddie Freeman story, and it's quite clear that a lot of that was probably going on. Reporters reporting on what was being told, what wasn't being told. And, you know, now we hear that Casey Close, who was the agent for Freddie Freeman, is saying, yeah, you know, I definitely passed along the $140 million number. I passed along all the various offers. And it's unclear, right? Because the teams, probably the Braves, to be honest, were probably trying to work the perception as to where things were. Now, whether or not it's fair, whether or not Freddie Freeman did know, whether Freddie Freeman is actually unclear about the results as because of what was said in the public, it's clear that, you know, this is definitely an inside politics game as much as anything else.
So in conclusion, it isn't clear. This is as clear as mud. No one seems to know because Freddie isn't confirming it. The agent's obviously taking a very strong view. I haven't seen a statement yet from the Braves themselves, but it's a mess, isn't it? I mean, it's a real mess because I've never seen a player show the emotion Freddie May showed and expressed when they've returned for the first time back to a club that they spent their whole careers at and have moved on from. I've never seen that before in all the years I've been following baseball, and I've been following it on a day-to-day basis since 1997. So that's 25 years.
Yeah, I mean, I think there have been other players who've been disappointed that they had to move, but the fact that Freeman, even now that he's with the Dodgers, continues to pine away for playing for the Braves, I think that is quite unique. And I have a lot of sympathy for his agent because I feel that, he has a Casey Close and XL. I don't know XL generally, but Close is an agent who I am very familiar with, has a good reputation, so much so that he also represents Stansby Swanson. And Swanson has said, look, whatever's going on with Freddie, it doesn't impact my relationship. And those things can often have an impact. Yeah. But I promise you, and it was funny to see this story. So when I was working as an agent, you have to be certified by the Players Association, by the MLBPA. And once you are, you receive certain documents that are kind of internal to all the agents. And one that often comes up is, it's not a cease and desist, but it's do not bother this player. So basically the player will write something to the PA saying, please let all the agents know that I'm not on the market. And Freddie Freeman did that almost immediately because I'm sure the Sharks were absolutely surrounding it. I'm sure that I wouldn't be surprised, I'm not sure, but I wouldn't be surprised if other agents have helped feed this discontent. So I think there are probably a lot of people whispering in Freddie's ear about what went on. And I think that that's continuing this process. But what's interesting is Freeman's still playing well. You know, I think often these type of situations become a distraction, but they haven't really been for Freddie.
No, it's been great. It's been great. I've got to take devil's advocate with you, JC. I understand your viewpoint is very much from the viewpoint of somebody who was for 9 years a representative of players. So you are naturally sympathetic towards an agent. And I totally accept that clubs have in the past and will in the future manipulate the dialogue in these situations because they want to get a player, they want to get a price, they want to unsettle, whatever the reasons. But I look at the whole Freddie situation and I can't get away from the financial realities. An agent is going to make more money if a player moves on than if he re-signs. Is that true or not true?
Not true. Whatever the contract total is, regardless of whether you re-sign or go to another team, you receive the same commission. So it had no impact. The amount at that point was relative, an extra.
But it must have had an impact, buddy. It must have had an impact because surely he signed for more with the Dodgers than was being offered, which is why he said no to the Braves. Because he wouldn't have said no to the Braves if there was total transparency between him and his agent for a sum of money that was the same that was being offered elsewhere.
Hard to know what the conversations are, but I will tell you a third factor that you're probably not aware of, Gouldie, which is you also get pressure from the Players Association. Going back to the situation I was telling you, is that the Players Association, who will be in contact with the agent and sometimes with the player, they will give their opinion on what they think in terms of the offers. And I know for a fact, in my situation, the Players Association was saying, don't take this contract because it sets a precedent for other players. And what we want to do as an association is keep on pushing the numbers up. So there is certainly that other dynamic that has nothing to do with the agent, nothing to do with the player, but the association, which is trying to tell these players, you need to get the most amount of money because it's best for all the players. So that's a factor as well, too.
Okay, it's a story that's going to go to run and run. And I've been asked by numerous people, so I'll be interested in your view and yours, Eric. Will Freddie eventually end up with the Braves, see out his career at the end of his career with the Braves? And given the fact that you now have a DH in the National League as well as the American League, so therefore it doesn't matter that they've signed Matt Olson on a long-term deal and obviously he is the future at first base, I'm inclined to say yes. Given the emotion he's expressed, I'm inclined to see that maybe his last ever contract will be a year or two with the Braves, DHing, so it doesn't matter that he's old and he can't play first base.
It's the Pujols contract that he currently has with the Cardinals to do that.
100%.
Certainly possible. I think that's a really interesting point, but obviously inconclusive because you just don't know where he's going to be physically in his career at that point. But I could see that the love is there going both ways, certainly.
Yeah, I remember when Tim Raines and Gary Carter came back to the Montreal Expos in the twilight of their career, just a bookend, have some symmetry to top and tail their career. It was nice seeing them tie off loose ends and have some symmetry in their career, but it was at the end of their career, let's face it.
I think it's fascinating. There's certain teams who love those type of players, the end of career players. The Dodgers are famous for doing that. And players you don't think are Dodgers, Frank Robinson ended his career right at the end of his career at the Dodgers. Juan Marichal, famous Giants player, played with the Dodgers at his end of his career. So it's always interesting to see players in the end of the career going to teams they haven't been in before, but there is so much more to it to see players return home at the end. I mean, Pujols has been not great this year, but it's nice to see that the Cardinals had that respect for him to bring him back.
Okay, guys, let's move this story on. We're just going to talk really about the season so far and pre-season. Bookies' favourites, obvious ones. Dodgers, everybody said the Mets are going to be really dominant, and the Yankees. And those three are very much at the top of the pile. So are we now looking at what is ultimately going to be the story for the rest of the season?
I still think teams can turn around, right? I mean, I think the two teams that have been the biggest disappointments are certainly the Angels. We were joking before we started the show, right? Every day it's like Trout hit a home run, Ohtani strikes out 12 through six innings, Angels lose 8-3. It's just shocking how that team has, you know, started so great and fallen down. And the other team, of course, is the White Sox, which has been a huge disappointment as well, too.
Yeah, big time.
But you know, we're at the halfway point. So as bad as this can be, teams can turn it around. Teams can falter. So I mean, I wouldn't say like, okay, turn off your TV till October, because I really do believe that there will be at least one surprise, either moving up the ranks or down the ranks before the end of the season.
Last year, you know, how happy were White Sox fans to see Tony La Russa back at the helm after all those years. Now this year, they're chanting "Fire Tony" from the stands.
Yeah, but we had this conversation. I mean, I wish David were here, because he and I went at it last year on La Russa, where I felt like, you know, they had a great team, but he was somewhat of a detriment to the overall success. The whole thing with the Urmanator, who's back. The Urmanator's back playing for the Giants. Yermin Mercedes. But like that whole situation, I thought he was being more of a distraction than a help. And now the performance is not outweighing this. But again, this comes back down to managers, right? Like, to what extent can La Russa elevate a team or diminish a club? We don't have, you know, hard answers for that.
I just want to give a mention, whilst we're just talking about the leagues as a whole, we're focusing at the American League at the moment, talking about the Yankees. I just want to give a mention for the Orioles. I mean, when you look at all the other divisions in the American League, you've got three teams in the Central that are sub 500. You've got four or five sub 500 teams in the West, in the AL West. And yet you go to the East and there's one team that's sub 500, and that's poor Baltimore. Why? Because they've got Tampa Bay, Toronto, Boston, and New York in the same division, who are all caning it. They're all, you know, competitors.
I mean, that's not the only, they have the Angelos family owning the team too. I mean, this is one of the problems with baseball. You can point at a handful of ownership families. The Monforts here in Colorado is another example, who just don't do enough, that they're happy to kind of slide by and, you know, have a few talented players. And the Orioles certainly have, you know, Cedric Mullins, they have talented players,
100%.
but nowhere near the depth, because they couldn't be bothered, and they're fine to rake in the money, to see the value of their team grow as the value of professional sports continues to grow. So I feel sorry for their fan base, but I do not feel sorry for their ownership or the team per se.
Houston obviously been playing the Yankees just of late. The Yankees all dominant, all conquering. Houston, seriously good. Seriously good. Absolutely.
Yeah, but I mean, they swept the Mets as well. Too bad Dave's not here to rant about it.
So should we be talking about Houston as the favorites?
I don't know about the favorites, but certainly, again, the postseason is such a different beast from the regular season. They're going to be there, and clearly they should. They no-hit the Yankees, that they're going to have the ability, if they're at the right place, if the pitching's sort of clicking at the right time, to certainly be in the World Series, certainly win it. Maybe not the favorites. I still put that with the Yankees, but as good a chance as any team in the American League to get to the World Series and to win it.
And Atlanta, obviously, despite a pretty poor start, now we've got young Acuna back, although he's been out just recently for the last week. I mean, closing down. I saw somewhere on Twitter about a month ago where one of these very loud pundits in America was saying, the National League East, it's over. It's over. Pay the money. The Mets are going to win the East. And, I mean, he was absolutely adamant that it was closed book. And yet here we are, Atlanta 3.5 games back.
Yeah, you were even a little doubtful there.
I was. Oh, 100%. Yeah. No, 100%. I put my hand up. I'd lost the faith. I just thought we just don't seem to be pitching well enough. We've got too many injuries to too many key players. And the irony of all irony, you know, how good we've been in June. Acuna's been out. Thankfully, not on the IL, but he's been injured. He's been banged up. We've suddenly lost Albies pretty much to a season-ending season. And for me, he's been such a leader of this Braves team. So, and they've got some serious issues still in the pitching ranks. No Soraka still, he's been out, what, 2 years?
Okay, I'm bringing out the waffle. Too much waffling about the Braves.
Sorry, right. Apologies. Right. I just think it's an amazing story.
Yeah, you won't see me waffling about the Tigers because there's nothing to waffle about. So, okay.
Well, talking of Tigers, before we close this news roundup, let's talk a bit about the Badoo Watch. I think this is going to be the last time we're doing it, isn't it?
Well, I know. So now the thing is, usually this is something we do Badoo Watch, which is over the past season or so, we've followed young Akil Badu. But last show we established, well, he's in the minor leagues. We got to stop doing him. I said, but hey, not so fast, young men there. Okay, one young man. Let's look. He's now still with the Toledo Mudhens, the Detroit Tigers minor league team. He's hitting .289. He's had, in the past 10 days, he's had 3 doubles, 2 triples, 4 steals, more highlight reel catches in the outfield. He's going to be back to being a Tiger, I say, in a few weeks. And then we can reinstate Badoo Watch as where it should be, like here.
Are we going to do anything in between? Because we did ask the listeners.
Well,
you know, they could make some suggestions.
That's what you're going to we're going to do either John Schreiber, which Josh has already, like, you know, came out of the gates early to talk about him and wax lyrical about John Schreiber. We still haven't figured out a punny nickname for him.
Yeah, it has to have a good nickname. And then we talked about Cuevas, right, with the Royals, who's still pitching well. I wanted to add a third name who may actually be, you know, Appel yourself or something like that. You know, Mark Appel, who was the number one overall draft pick in the draft when he came out of Stanford University. He looked like he was going to become the third player ever in the history of Major League Baseball since the draft occurred not to make it to the major leagues. Only happened twice before. I mean, if you're number one overall, teams will do whatever it takes to get you up there. But he had injuries. He retired from baseball. He wrote a very eloquent, whether it was Instagram or an extended tweet about how, you know, he didn't feel like a failure. All of a sudden, he starts rebuilding his arm, starts feeling better, comes back into the minors. And just this past week, the guy actually made it to the majors to avoid becoming the third ever first overall pick. And I watched his outie. He was filthy. So a 97, getting great movement, off speed looking. He'd been a starter, but now, he was in the bullpen. So my hope is he'll stick up there and maybe another candidate for us.
Josh, just so that I can work on coming up with a witty name for this segment using this young man, just remind me of his name again, please.
Mark Appel.
I'm not interested for any other reason other than just obviously in case we do decide to do some kind of a
Badu
S. Exactly.
If he gets drunk applesauce, I don't know. We can make. We'll think of something.
We'll think of something. And meanwhile, I'm going in to see if he's available in any of my fancy leagues.
Well, he's a relief pitcher. So, you know,
hey, I love
a
relief pitcher.
I could get you saves, probably.
Exactly. Exactly. I could do with that. Okay. Well, that's pretty much it for the news roundup, unless you guys have got any other suggestions.
Oh, by the way, speaking of Toledo Mudhens, which is like Akil Badu is still playing at the moment until it gets called back up for the Tigers. I'd like to a special birthday mention to the Toledo Mudhens' biggest fan, and that's Jamie Farr, Corporal Klinger from MASH. He's 88 years old today.
Wow.
88 years old, yeah.
Klinger's 88.
Klinger from MASH is 88 today, July 1st. And Toledo, they have, sometimes they have Jamie Farr bobblehead day at Mudhead games. Because he wears a Toledo Mudhens cap and jersey on the show. So,
You want to describe how good was he in what was one of the greatest shows ever. How do you replace Radar? And yet he did. He filled those shoes and filled it.
You know what's really sad about this conversation? We should mention to our listeners, just in case we have someone under the age of 50, that we're talking about the show MASH. And Jamie Farr played a character on that seminal, I don't know if you call it was a dramedy com. It wasn't really just a sitcom that ran in the, did it start in the 70s? Certainly in the
80s. Yeah, it started in the 70s.
Oh, yeah, it started in the 70s.
Lasted 11 seasons, lasted longer than the actual Korean War, which he's depicted in. And basically, all I'm going to say is, if you've never heard of MASH, and if you don't like MASH, we don't want you part of our show. Moving on.
uh...
Okay, controversy. We've just lost 40% of our listenership. Batter number two, it's the All-Star game. It's just around the corner. I still have such wonderful memories. And I'm sure you join me, boys. We went there when 2-6, 2-7, 2-8, out to the US when we were doing the Channel 5 TV baseball show. And we were able to record our coverage of the All-Star game live. And I still think our first ever one, JC, when we went to Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh, yeah.
That is still my all-time favorite.
Oh, they were all great. We went to Old Yankee Stadium, was amazing. Yeah, I mean, we got to take batting practice. I always enjoyed that. But I didn't enjoy
New York as much, mate. I thought they were an arrogant bunch of so-and-sos.
Okay, I'll tell you about All-Star games. Apparently, and Nick Holling, another former TV colleague of ours, said the same thing with the NFL, whichever city hosted the Super Bowl. And I'll say the same thing about All-Star games. The best All-Star games have always been ones in non-big cities, like Pittsburgh, Detroit. But when he goes to the big cities, like New York, it's just a blip on the radar. And now with it being in LA.
That's a big sell for this year, right?
Exactly. Now being in LA.
Well, it's in LA, isn't it?
Thanks for selling it there, Eric.
So will it be as big as it? There's so much other stuff to do. Oh, is there an All-Star game today? Let's just go surfing, dude.
The All-Star game is a fascinating exercise, right? It was always meant to be a shop window, an opportunity to see all the players in different uniforms. When I was a kid, it was so exciting, right? It just, that select side environment when all you had is like a game of the week. I mean, growing up, there was the Monday Night Baseball, and then you had your local team. And the Monday Night Baseball is the one national game that you would watch, and it would be so crazy to see the Tigers when I lived in Los Angeles on TV. And, other than on a baseball card, it was a really special moment. I mean, now you have the ability with MLB.TV and so many other options to watch every team. So it's not as exciting. It's really hard, especially that it has no meaning anymore, right? We got rid of the accounts, which was kind of stupid anyway. So I'm okay with that, to make it a really meaningful event.
Okay, let's pick up on that point. You've just referenced the fact that a few years back, the All-Star game did count. There was something that you could earn, and that was home field advantage in the World Series. If you were the National League team and you won the All-Star game, you had home field advantage in the World Series. That's a big deal. That gave it value. They dispensed with that idea after a number of years of running with it, and you're saying that you're happy with that. You actually think that it hasn't suffered, even though viewing figures in the last couple of years have been really down on previous years.
Oh, it doesn't necessarily improve the interest in the All-Star game. It just improves the competitive integrity of Major League Baseball, that now teams based on their own performance are able to earn home field advantage, which feels much more respectable than a select side that was partially picked by fans on reasons that have nothing to do with talent to determine who's going to have a really substantive advantage in the World Series.
Yeah. Okay, well, look, just for our listeners' sake, obviously the All-Star game is just around the corner. It's mid-July. And just to reference a couple of the rule changes, and this is all part of this year's voting process, the leading vote getter in each league in phase one gets to skip phase two and is given an All-Star game starting spot automatically. And we already know who that is. Yes, we got Yankee slugger Aaron Judge has led the American League. In fact, I think he's led the whole leagues with just over, 3.76 million votes. So he will be starting for the American League, and that'll be his fourth All-Star game. And the Braves wonder kid that is Ronald Acuna Jr., who we have not seen to his usual standards, and yet despite that, because everybody loves him, he's led the National League vote with just over 3.5 million. So he'll be starting definitively for his third straight All-Star game. So we've now got fan-selected finalists in all positions. You've got the list in front of you, guys. Pick a few out. Surprises, ones that make you happy. JC, you go first. Yeah,
for sure. I will always go to the catcher category first. This is the position I used to play. And I love the stories behind the two American League catchers, Alejandro Kirk, Jose Trevino. Trevino particularly, who was a late spring pickup for the Yankees, no expectations. And here he is on the best team in baseball, really offering great value, not just for money, just great value, full stop. Yeah. So I definitely enjoy those two players and that story because they're new, fresh names, and they've both been very exciting players.
Eric, not surprising at first base in the American League, Vlad Jr., his name has appeared. But the bad news is he won't be competing in the home run derby, which, of course, is part of the All-Star celebrations. And that is to preserve his wrist health.
He won't be competing in the home run derby.
Oh, sorry, derby. Oh, we go. Yeah. We do this every year. Sorry, I do apologize.
Apparently he wants to protect his wrist, which has been a bit sore as of late, and which is understandable, but it'd be a shame because, you know, it'd be his dad won it, right? But it gives Pete Alonso a chance to win another one.
Well, Pete Alonso was so dominant last year. It's hard to imagine anyone else winning if he returns in the same form.
And of course, as we know, he made more money winning those home run derbies than he did his actual paycheck with the Mets.
That was hilarious. Okay, I'm going to pick a few out here, guys. This one slightly surprises me. Jazz Chisholm, who is an exciting player to watch, I love to watch, but I'm slightly surprised that he's leading the NL second base votes, in fact, he's leading with Ozzie Albies because both of them are injured. It's one of those sort of anomalies about the vote that sometimes it can't catch up to reality. I mean, I think it's highly unlikely. Well, Ozzie obviously won't be playing, and I'm pretty sure Jazz is injured sufficiently that he won't be playing either. So in a sense, it's a wasted vote.
Yeah, but I mean, you've already voted for it. You're voting for excitement. And if the player ends up not playing, then gets replaced with someone else that's based on skill. And so that's not that bad. And, you know, it's tough. I want to get excited about the All-Star game. And what's amazing to me is that for all the questions about to what extent baseball is still America's pastime and it's no longer the most popular sport, the All-Star game, the Major League All-Star game, still gets higher ratings than the Pro Bowl, than NBA's All-Star game. And the numbers are down, like you said, Gouldie. It's, you know, over 8 million, but it's still the most popular because I think in general, this whole concept is one that's diminishing, but there's still love for it on some level, relatively speaking. So I want to be positive about it.
As I think, out of the four top North American sports, it is the best All-Star game, if you will. The NHL one is diabolical because no one tries because no one wants to get injured. And it's just the score lines don't really matter. And
that's true with basketball and football.
Basketball. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's hard to kind of fake it in baseball, right? You throw 97, you're not going to be trying to throw 92, right? Yeah. You either don't pitch or you do. So exactly. I kind of like that factor.
Guys, I've missed out the absolute number one big smile vote that I've seen on this list, by the way. And this obviously is the fan-selected finalists in each position. Designated hitter in the National League, William Contreras, who is, of course, the Braves' backup catcher, but has been absolutely phenomenal. And obviously, Travis Arnaud is not exactly shabby. And so he's not getting that many starts as a catcher, but he's played so well, he's been picking up the DH slot. Isn't that a great story?
Well, the story is even better, right? Because his brother, Wilson Contreras, is one of the finalists, too, at the catcher's position.
That's right.
So the Contreras family is beloved in baseball fan circles.
And rightly so. And, you know, it makes me realize why I'm doing so well in all my fantasy teams, because I'm looking at this list and all of them.
Waffle time. You're waffling again.
Okay, I'll tell you what, before you hit that bell, you're talking about being positive about the All-Star game. I loved going to the All-Star game, so I do hope it continues to thrive. The big plus for me this year is that obviously the World Series managers get to manage the All-Star teams in the following year. And that means for this year, the two managers are Brian Snitker of the Braves. Freaking love Brian Snitker. And of course, Dusty Baker, all-time favorite Astros manager. So that alone, to have those two guys there, is a big, big plus. And for those of you that want to check it out, the 2022 MLB All-Star Game is being played on Tuesday, July the 19th at Dodger Stadium in Los Angeles. And I think the coverage will be live. I think it's on BT ESPN, so you will be able to get to see it. Anyway, okay, let's move it on. Batter number three, guys, MLB in Europe. It's coming to London in 2023. How exciting is that? It's also coming to London in 2022. Tell us more, JC.
Well, it's the home run derby. It's going to be Crystal Palace.
Derby. Come on.
Don't derby it.
Come on. Don't sell it.
Well, hang on. If it's in England, Eric, right. Strictly speaking, Josh is
okay,
right.
So it's a derby
if it's in America, but it's derby if it's.
I love the way you Google it when you say derby. It's like you try and put on your best American accent. Derby.
Derby. I know. That's the only way to say it.
Does that mean in 1994 there was a soccer World Cup, not the football World Cup? Come on.
Good argument. Good argument.
There will be home runs hit at Crystal Palace, however you want to describe it. And it's a fascinating setup in that you have a combination of former major leaguers, guys like Johnny Gomes, Gio Soto, number of players all representing.
Nick Swisher
for the Yankees, all representing different teams. And then each of those teams have interesting combinations based on people who are sort of famous, other athletes. My favorite inclusion is that there are going to be proper British players hitting home runs side by side with these big names.
Adrian Gonzalez, another one as well, playing with these
Adrian
Brits.
Adrian Gonzalez, yep, exactly. But the British players are the ones that I'm personally most excited about. You know, Zach Stroman, Jordan Edmonds. I played with Jordan. Both those guys play with the London Mets. You've got a number of other players there who are going to be involved. And it's not your traditional home run derby where you hit a bomb, you either get a point or you don't. There are other little interesting elements to it. If a ball is caught and on the fly, it affects the point total. So I think it could be a really fun event. And I know you guys are hopefully going to go.
We shall be there. If not just for the balls being hit sky high, but for the food. Apparently there's a lot of ballpark food to be eaten and supped.
You're gonna definitely do some grading, I would hope.
Oh, absolutely. Hope. You know.
Okay,
me.
Good. Yes.
We should point out it's not called a home run derby, it's a home run derby X. That's the actual official name. Yeah. And it looks like it's gonna be a lot of fun. I do hope there'll be a few people down there. Eric and I are definitely gonna be there. Is this not the moment, Eric, when we should reveal all to our listeners?
That is correct. We actually have two spare tickets for two of our listeners, a pair of tickets. That's right. So basically we're looking for one person to enter our little contest.
And this is courtesy of the kindness of MLB Europe. And we are very grateful to them, allowing us to give away two tickets to a deserving UK baseball fanatic, male or female. So how are they going to win this? What's the competition details, Eric?
That's a good question.
Okay, I'll pick that up for you, Eric.
All right. Well, how should we do this?
So here's what
I
you
did
gotta
that deliberately.
Do. Okay. Well, we're gonna try up our social media just a little bit, and what you gotta do is Eric will post a link and indicate that this is the link that you need to look at on our Twitter feed. It will also be on our Instagram feed, and if you follow us and you retweet or reshare, you will be eligible, and then we will pick at random one person who has met that criteria.
And of course, because there'll be other influencers involved at this Home Run Derby X as well. And of course, the best influencers of them all in the land is us, right? It's yes. So basically, follow all our social media handles and to find out more how you can win a pair of tickets for July 9th Home Run Derby X at Crystal Palace Park in London.
But that's only part of the story. If you're looking for Major League Baseball in Europe, we know that they're definitely relaunching the London series. We've got the Cubs and the Cards coming in 2023. We've got looking forward to that. But there's other stuff going on. Eric, have you got some details there?
Well, so I've always been lucky enough to be working with the MLB game development coaching staff across Europe and Africa, and I've always gone and tagged along with them and helped with their media requirements. I've been to Cape Town, I've been to Barcelona, I've been to I've been to Munich, and I've been to Italy, Venice, or you name it. And this is the most exciting one of them all. I'll be in Slough next week.
Slough?
Farnham Park, to be exact, which is just, you know, the nearest train station is Slough. And it's basically the MLB game development program will be teaching British hopefuls and British kids playing baseball here domestically how to improve their skills, how to get into the big leagues. Another initiative of how baseball is actually made, MLB that is flexing its muscles on making baseball grow and work in Europe.
Now, this is, I'm assuming, not a spectator event.
people can come by and take a look if they want, but it's basically the whole point of the whole program is to make the youth of baseball get better. And you never know, we might actually be seeing from the fields of Farnham Park somebody breaking the big leagues one day. You never know.
And if we want to see your footage, Eric, how do we do that?
That'll be on MLB.com.
Loving it. Okay.
Can I add one more thing, though?
Of course you can, buddy.
British baseball. So along with all that going on, something that just was recently announced was the GB women's team that will be competing in the first ever women's baseball European Championships. And something to just keep an eye on over the course of the summer that this team will be preparing. Very excited for this. And I think really we pay attention to the fact that GB is sort of at the forefront of this. I mean, women's baseball has been going on for a long time, but in Europe, it's still in its relative nascent stage. And the fact that GB is pushing forward with this is a real testament to the baseball community. So major hat tip for that.
Fantastic. And thank you for making sure we did not miss that out. Okay, well, that's three batters up and three batters swinging from the hips. And they've all been struck out because it's time for the seventh inning stretch. Right, Eric, Facebook book of the week. What have you got for us, buddy?
Well, there's one little gem that I discovered recently. And since we are TV guys originally, I figure I do the Electric October by Kevin Cook. Electric October is a book about the 1947 World Series. Why should you care about the 1947 World Series of all of them? Well, it's the first one that was televised. And not only was it televised, it was one of the most exciting World Series they claimed to ever be. It was the Yankees, Brooklyn Dodgers. It was Jackie Robinson's first World Series. Joe was playing it. What's not to like? It went the full seven games. There was almost a no-hitter in one of the games. And for it being the first televised live World Series, it was very timely. You couldn't have asked for a better series to promote the game nationwide across America and Canada.
Better than Game 7 of the 2001 Yankees D-backs World Series. Better than that.
Well, imagine if you've never seen baseball on TV before, and then you've been treated to this amazing 1947 World Series. But it's got all these other like 6 degrees of separations of six different people who were involved in that World Series, and that's all interconnected. And even Ty Cobb was involved in that World Series, if you can believe it or not. All is written in the book of Electric October by Kevin Cook, Eric Jansen's Baseball Book of the Week.
Yeah, just to underscore what you're saying, Eric, right? I mean, baseball was a radio media, one that was heavy on description, and you were trying to be evocative to paint a picture. All of a sudden now, the picture's painted for you. I mean, this must have been like people walking on the moon for fans of the sport. So yeah. That's a really great subject matter.
Absolutely.
Excellent stuff. Okay, well, what about our cultural reference? Are we going down another musical lane?
We are going down follow me down the path of a musical interlude. But this was actually discovered by our own Josh Chetwin, and I'll give Josh Chetwin the conductor's podium.
Well, I don't deserve full credit for this one. I actually a person I know who's very prominent in baseball, his name's John Thorne. He is Major League Baseball's official historian. He was the one who flagged this for me. I'm a huge fan of ragtime music. I think it's a great era, you know, early 20th century, very Americana, or very North Americana. The Maple Leaf Rag is sort of one of my favorite tunes. But he pointed out that Noel Coward actually did a baseball rag. He did this baseball rag before he'd ever even come to the United States. So I'm sure he had not probably seen baseball, though there had been some exhibitions of baseball during this period. So perhaps he had seen some, but certainly not on American soil, and produced it. And what I love about it, one of them makes mention of jazz. And I believe this came out just a handful of years before that term became popularized. And most people don't know this, and we think of it as a musical concept, but jazz was actually first a baseball term. So it's interesting that we see it in this song just a few years after it had become popularized. And I'm a fan of this too.
Now,
are we gonna have to listen to this?
Well, yeah, of course.
Grumpy.
you love music. Come on. Now, the thing is, when Josh brought this to my attention, and he said we couldn't actually find the original recording by Noel Coward. We were able to, the sheet music still exists. I try to track down even the vinyl of an old 78. Imagine telling kids today what a 78 is. So it was a 78 RPM record. Couldn't find it anywhere. I searched high and low for it. But we did find this recording of it, and it sounds something like this. Here's an excerpt of Noel Coward's Baseball Rag.
I've got a rippy new sensation. There's just no need for hesitation. Baseball's the game that makes the world go round. It gets your heart a-palpitating. You can't sit still. You'll go mad, you'll go bad, because you'll never be contented until. Do that raggy rag. It's just a baseball tune, and it gets you syncopated mad like any old loon. You simply glide along, dear. You'll never want to lag. It's a cinch, it's a go, it's a jazz tally-ho for that baseball rag.
Okay, let's be brutally honest here. Love Noel Coward, love his work theatrically, but that's a shocker, guys. Jason, what are you thinking of?
1919. What are you expecting?
Well, what is the definition of a song, a good song? A good song has great lyrics, ideally poetic, lyrics that talk to you, great harmonies, a great voice. That was just an excuse for a guy.
It's a novelty song, fun of the time. It's not going to end up on Radio North Bath.
Look, can I put to bed this North Bath? This is Eric's doing. I don't know where he got it from. It's North Bath. Bath is the whole of Bath. And a little bit of East Wiltshire, I'll have you know.
Anyways.
Big fan base in East Wiltshire.
Okay, so I'll tell you what. Okay, if you're not going to play it on Radio North Bath. Now, the thing about Noel Coward, you know, who was, of course, an esteemed singer, actor. Don't forget, remember, he was the criminal kingpin in prison in the Italian Job, if you don't know exactly who he is. When Josh sent me this, the baseball rig, I was sort of researching, and I found another song. Maybe you prefer this one, Johnny. Same era, but 1913. Let's go back 6 years. But this time it's called The Baseball Rag. And I was confused, like, what? There's two baseball rags? Well, this one's called The Baseball Rags. And this is by a guy called Arthur Collins. Maybe this is more to your liking. Here's a little excerpt of The Baseball Rag.
Oh, Mr. Man. Oh, Mr. Man.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be on our way to the game today. Oh, Mr. Man. Oh, Mr. Man. Mm-hmm. Couldn't miss my grandma's funeral. I've got the prize. I've got the price. Mm-hmm. I'll believe the thing. Mm-hmm. I will stand the tree. Mm-hmm. To the big league ball game. Let's go out and holler with a fan. You're on now. Oh, oh. That gliding baseball rag. See the pitcher throw and strike him out. You got him going. Oh, oh. That sliding baseball drag. Don't you be a quitter. Show him you're a heavy hitter. Some classy curve. The pitcher twirling. Go on. Kids spin without a whirling. Hey, soak it out. Soak it out. Make a home run. Ball. Strike. Safe hit, first base, make second, you're up first, keep it going, sonny, make me win a lot of money, don't stop, until you're clutching third, you're a holy terror, center fielder made an error, slide, slide, you made a good beginning, for you know that your team always makes a winning when you play ball, and sing that baseball rag.
Okay, well, Eric, I don't know who Arthur Collins is. I'm quite glad I don't know who Arthur Collins is. I'm sure he was a very nice chap and he probably had a half-decent career. But if that was the highlight of his career, well, the or not the, it was crap.
Oh, come on. Jesus, what a fuddy-duddy. Come on. I mean, 1913, and if anything, those lyrics actually roll off the tongue even better. And,
I
like the Noel Coward one better.
Yeah, that's your idea of rolling.
I prefer that over the Noel Coward one.
So can I make a request to anyone who's listening? So for the next Radio North Bath installment of Johnny and Lulu, please call in and request whichever one you like, the baseball rag or baseball rag, and make sure that Johnny gets it on there.
Josh, do you know how radio works? Clearly not, because somebody makes a request. I'm the master. I control those turntables. A song goes on if I decide it goes on. Why am I going to put a song on that I've just described as Rap with the C in front of it live to the nation.
Universal acclamation of the rest of the world, you'll realize you were wrong.
Anyways,
how's that gonna happen?
So anyway, so basically
it hasn't ever happened before.
Never.
Johnny, you gotta here's the thing, at the end of the show we're gonna play out one of these songs. You gotta choose, which is it will be the Noel Coward version or the Arthur Collins version. 1913 Arthur Collins, 1919 Noel Coward. These songs, we're bringing a century old song back, rising out of the ashes, and you're poo-pooing both of them. It's a phoenix. So which one are we going to play at the end of the show? Noel Coward or Arthur Collins?
Do I have to do it now?
I don't know. Or I guess, okay, tell what,
so he can get his turntable ready.
I'll do it at the end of the show.
All right. Well, you can
listen. When I've got time enough to go and get a screwdriver and drive it deep into my eyeball.
See, that's how you listen to music.
Is that your thing? That's your thing?
Right.
Is there any way I can make a painful decision?
Okay, moving on.
Well, that's it. Can you believe it? Put us out of our misery. The show has come to an end. Goldie.
So you don't like trivia answers?
The trivia answer, buddy.
Oh, you want the trivia answer?
I know you just don't want to get something wrong again.
I just got to give Eric his moment. I'm sorry. I just found that whole cultural input just so painful. I just wanted to, you know, crawl into a corner and find a dark room. Okay, we need a trivia answer. Go on then, Eric. What do you want to give us?
All right, so earlier I asked you, because it is Canada Day, sticking for the rest of Canada Day, today on July 1st. But I asked you earlier, which of these Montreal Expos was the last to play in an All-Star game? Now, I asked you, is it A, Brad Wilkerson, B, Livon Hernandez, C, Orlando Cabrera? Which of those three were the last to play in an All-Star game in an Expos uniform? Josh Shewin, do you want to go first?
I can, if you want me to. So I always thought Wilkerson's career was a little earlier than the end of the Expos reign. Cabrera would be a good guess, but I actually think it's Livon Hernandez. I'm pretty sure.
Johnny Gould.
Okay, well, I thought through this very hard, and I totally agree with Josh that I think the one player who I've never heard of clearly wasn't around when I first started doing the show, so it clearly isn't him, because obviously Montreal were around when we started the show, Channel 5 Baseball, back in 97. So I thought it had to be down to the other two, and for the very same reasons, and it's extraordinary that I've come to these conclusions, but for the very same reasons that Josh has already quoted, I'm going to side with Josh. I think Josh has probably cheated, looked over my shoulder, found out what I was going to go with, and decided accordingly. But I'm not going to waver. I'm going to stick with my original gut instinct, and I'm going to say Mr. Hernandez.
You're just, it's your safe guess, right? Boy, get it wrong.
I don't know what you can possibly mean by that.
And I'm glad you kept that short and succinct. Now, here's the thing. 2004 was the last season of the Montreal Expos. 2005, the Washington Nationals were actually played their first games as Montreal.
I know who their first All-Star was. I remember that. I'm pretty sure. I thought it was Chad Cordero, wasn't it?
That's not the question. Now,
okay.
The
I wanted extra credit. I'm such a kissing butt.
Now, 2004 All-Star game was in Houston, Texas. And the only player to have played at that All-Star game wearing full Montreal Expos uniform was Livon Hernandez.
Thank you. Thank you. I just want to say thank you.
Now, Orlando Cabrera was actually traded to the Red Sox that year and won the World Series. But Brad Wilkerson, interesting enough, was an Expo that year. And he's actually the last Expo in an Expos uniform, meaning that people don't realize this, but there was a time, and they're actually going to bring this back, where after the season ends, a select amount of MLB All-Stars go to Japan and play Japanese All-Stars in a All-Star series. Okay. And even though the Expos were defunct, the season was over, they were already moving to Washington, D.C., Brad Wilkerson was invited to participate in that MLB All-Stars versus Japanese All-Stars, and he still wore an Expos uniform. So he was technically the last ever Expo to play a professional game.
Say this is really interesting, but it's 18 years ago. You need to get over it. Nobody compares.
Who knows? Manfred said that he'd like to see 32 teams in the league now. I'm not sure if that's if I like to have an extra two teams on the league to dilute the league a bit more, but I think that means the return of
money. You definitely need two more teams. You have to have the even number in each league.
Exactly. So,
I think that has to happen.
I like keeping it at 30 at the moment, but because...
Whoa, hang on. Mathematically, if you do that, then if you keep three divisions, one of them's going to have six, and the other two are going to have 10, oh, five. You've got an odd number there, or you're going to have four fours.
But from a scheduling standpoint, even if you have the divisions set up that way, though they may realign the divisions to who knows.
So we get rid of the central, and we go American League North, West, East, and South.
Yeah.
Four teams in each. Where are you going to put them? That's an interesting one.
You were already talking like this is going to happen. Anyway.
So if they do add two, what are you saying? It's going to be Montreal and Las Vegas?
No, Las Vegas, Nashville. I think Nashville has...
Nashville deserves it.
Portland's been discussed as well, too. But I think Nashville has strong body behind it.
Now, I'd love it if it was Portland, because that's my missus's favorite part of the world. In fact, that's exactly where she is right now, as we speak. So
Portland, Oregon, not Maine.
Portland, Oregon. That's what I'm talking about. So if I end up in Portland, Oregon, which is a distinct possibility in my old age, then I'll have a local baseball team to support when the Braves are not playing.
Okay. You should watch the documentary, if you haven't already, The Battered Bastards of Baseball. Have you ever seen that?
No.
What's that about?
Okay, it's on Netflix. You should absolutely watch it. It's about an independent minor league team that played in Portland called the Portland Mavericks.
Oh!
Kurt Russell.
Oh, I think I have seen this.
Yeah. Well, you should watch it again, because you obviously don't remember it. So
yeah, well,
watch it again, and it'll be like brand new for you.
Exactly.
Oh, by the way, that reminds me, Johnny, have you watched Spinal Tap yet?
No, I haven't. Sorry, no.
For those who are new to the show, for years we've been pestering Johnny because we've been shocked that he still has not seen Spinal Tap yet. I've sent him two DVDs, which he's lost already. So,
look, Eric, I haven't seen Spinal Tap, but I've seen Dirty Dancing 34 times.
Okay, moving on.
I've seen Notting Hill.
Waffling. Okay.
Okay. Well, for the second time, rewind to a few minutes ago. That brings the show to a close. Thank God I hear you cry. Do get involved. The Johnny Josh Show. We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook. We're on all the social media platforms. And we'd love you to hit the button, subscribe, and do what you do when you're showing the love.
Explain the contest again.
Yes, that's a very good show. We've got this contest. If you didn't hear the details mid-show,
two tickets.
We're offering two tickets, the MLB Home Run Derby X, which is happening. When's it happening, Eric? Can you remember?
July 9th.
There you go. July 9th.
How much time? You gotta get come on in. Come meet Johnny and I and Johnny will pay for all the food and drinks.
And Josh, you're the man with the details. How do they get involved?
So you need to either go to Twitter or to Instagram, where we post the show. When you see the link, there will be an explanation that as long as you follow us and you share that particular posting, you will be eligible, and then we will pick one person at random.
So we'll stick everybody's name in the hat that does that, and we'll pick that one name at random. Eric and I are both going to be there, guys, so we'd love to meet you. If you do happen to be the lucky winner, come and say hello. And
if you don't win, come down anyway. Lots of food. Yeah,
100%. And come and say hello. We'd love to meet up with as many people as possible. And I tell you what, anybody that comes up and says, regular listener of the Johnny and Josh Show, Eric will buy you a beer and I'll buy you a hot dog. How about that?
And anybody who comes by with that they listen to Radio North Bath, you will not get anything.
Eric, be sure to post on our Twitter feed your food analysis / critique.
That will come ad nauseum. Less nauseum, more awesome. Ad.
Yeah. As if you really needed to remind him, JC. But I know. Thank you anyway.
It's his happy time.
By the way, if you are into your North America sport, not just your baseball, don't forget the Nat Coon Show at the NC Show. Nat doing great things, big time, all over the TV. He's having a wonderful career, and obviously we love him dearly, so do check out.
He's having a wonderful career. Yeah. He said that long illegal.
Unlike us. Yeah. We used to be
he's
big.
He's succeeding,
you know.
But you know.
That obvious. Was it that obvious? Oh, dear, that was painful.
I'm still big. It's the pictures. I got small.
Yeah. I got a phone call today from a mate of mine who's been given a remit to put together loads of programs those sort of like corporate events. And he said, do you know anybody that could host an NFL show? So, hey, I'm steering some more work now this way. So, yeah, there you go. I'm showing him the love. But that's it, guys. What do you got planned for the, if we don't get together for another 4 weeks? Anything exciting to look forward to in July?
Well, just the Home Run Derby X.
Which, and of course, anything exciting in July for you, JC?
I am playing in my last Bonspiel. That's a tournament in curling for the season. This is a fun Bonspiel, and Eric will appreciate that. Back in the day when people played curling, rather than using the kind of brooms you see in the Olympics, they used corn brooms. So they were these long, they kind of look like the brooms that the Wicked Witch of the West would ride on, very long, and you would sort of slap the ice. So this is a corn broom spiel where I get a corn broom and get to play a little differently. So fun.
And you
way
said
to
that's a fun corn broom. That's not a contradiction in terms where you're from?
Corn broom or a fun curling event.
Okay, so now, and for those of you, if anybody,
Gouldy, I know you're doing Radio North Bath over the next month, so we're excited about that.
I am,
now, of course, if anybody tunes into Radio North Bath, you can also win a curling basics book, which Josh Hill will probably need with his for this curling Bonspiel.
Are we looking to add to your book collection, JC, that we don't cover on this program on curling? So you've done all the ones on baseball and language. Is that the next? Is that maybe your next project?
I'm a little oversubscribed at the moment, working on climate issues. So,
okay. Which is slightly more important, just slightly.
I believe so.
Yeah,
I believe.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Okay, big guy. Just for both of you, because clearly you've both forgotten. The only really big thing happening in July for me is my birthday. But hey, don't worry about it. You forgot it. That's all right.
That's okay. Mine was last week, and you forgot it, so don't worry about it.
Beg your pardon, I did not forget it. I phoned you, I messaged you, I sent you loads of love. I didn't send you a gift or a card, but I did everything else.
Gouldy, but you didn't remember a couple weeks out. You saw it on Facebook or you had it in your diary.
JC, however, whatever way it takes to, you know, to
yeah, my point is that, trust me, when your day comes, both Eric and I will call or text or WhatsApp.
Send you
but we won't remember until the day of.
We'll send you a prize in a post.
Okay, guys. Well, it's been fun. As always, no idea who either of you are, but thank you for your input. You've been listening to the Johnny and Josh Show. If you love baseball, then this is the place to join us each and every month on all the podcast mediums. And don't forget, do get involved with the subscribing, etc. And with a bit of luck, we may even see you at the Home Run Derby X at Crystal Palace coming up on July the 9th. But that's it from this season 3, episode 4 of the Johnny and Josh Show. It just leaves me to leave you with one of two options of a song, neither of which I'm particularly like. So this is the least worst. I'm going with Noel Coward. Enjoy.
I've got a rippy new sensation. There's just no need for hesitation. Baseball's the game that makes the world go round. It gets your heart a-palpitating. You can't sit still. You'll go mad, you'll go bad, because you'll never be contented until. Do that raggy rag. It's just a baseball tune, and it gets you syncopated mad like any old loon. You simply glide along, dear. You'll never want to lag. It's a cinch, it's a go, it's a jazz tally-ho for that baseball rag. First, do a kind of slashing single. It sets your hands and feet a-tingle. There's never been a stunt like this before. Farewell to hesitation, waltzes, foxtrots, goodbye. Take your chance for a dance that makes you want to shout, it's a pike, tell the umpire, hi. Do that raggy rag, it's just a baseball tune, and it gets you syncopated mad like any old loon. You simply glide along, dear, you'll never want to lag. It's a dope, it's a dream, it's a yell, it's a scream. Gee, that baseball rag.